board is composed of city residents nominated by a public interest group and confirmed by city council to serve a three-year term of office. All board members are community volunteers who receive no pay for their service. The members of the board are Todd Gray, nominated by the Atlanta Business League, who's vice chair. Chris Gilmore, nominated by Gate City Bar Association. We have Matt Grosner, nominated by the Georgia Society of CPAs. Vic Hartman, nominated by the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners. Lisa Lang, nominated by the Atlanta Bar Association. Jerry Newmark, nominated by the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board. Wesley Tharp, nominated by the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce. My name is Nicola Hines, and I am nominated by the League of Women Voters, Atlanta Fulton County. The ethics officer, Jabu Sengova, and her staff are also present. A quorum is present. Let's begin with the first order of business, which is the adoption of the agenda for tonight's meeting. If all board members can look at their agenda, which was provided in their board packet. Okay. Do we have a motion to adopt the agenda?
I move we adopt the agenda of the August 20th, 2020 meeting.
I second the motion.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded that we adopt the agenda for tonight's meeting. Any discussion on this motion? Okay, hearing no discussion, the question on the adoption of the motion to adopt the agenda for tonight's meeting. Those in favor of the motion say A.
A.
Aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it. The agenda is adopted, and there's no noes have it. The motion is to adopt the agenda. I'm sorry. The agenda is adopted. So we will now go into the next order of business. And that is approving the minutes for the February 27th, 2020 meeting. This is February, since we have not met in person since February. So if you look in your board packet again, those minutes should be there. The next tab starts on page 3. I do have a motion to adopt the minutes from February 27th, 2020 meeting.
I make a motion to adopt the minutes of the February 27th meeting.
Second. It's Todd.
Okay. The motion has been moved and seconded. Are there any discussion? Hearing no discussion. The adoption to move the agenda, and those in favor of the motion Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Ms. Hines, I believe yes. I just want to make sure for the record. I think you said the minutes, right?
The minutes, yep, for February 27th, 2020.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Those, we'll do the ayes again. Those in favor of adopting the minutes from the February 27th, 2020 meeting, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no, nay. The motion has been approved to move forward to adopt the February 27th meeting. Before we move on, I would like to introduce our newest board member, Vic Hartman. I'm pleased to introduce you, Vic Hartman, the newest member of the governing board. Mr. Hartman was nominated by the Georgia Association of Certified Fraud Examiners and is the founder of the Hartman Firm, which specializes in internal investigation, forensic accounting, fraud mitigation, consulting, due diligence, and whistleblower representation. Mr. Hartman speaks and writes on the topic of fraud and serves as an adjunct professor for Georgia State University, where he teaches a forensic accounting course. Mr. Hartman previously served with the FBI for 25 years and had received specialized training in white-collar crime, internal investigations, and forensic accounting matters. Mr. Hartman is an active member of various organizations and has demonstrated a commitment to public service throughout his career. I believe that he will be a valuable addition to the governing board. Welcome, Vic, to the board.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Welcome, Vic.
Yes.
Welcome.
Next on the agenda is an action item. It is the bylaws for the new governing board of the Office of the Inspector General. We had this discussion in February to bring it back to our next board meeting. That is also in your packet. It is in the next section after the minutes. If you want to refamiliarize yourself and get over again. Do I have a motion for the adoption of the new bylaws for the governing board of the Office of Inspector General?
I move we adopt motion for the governing board and the Inspector General.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Okay, the motion has been moved and second. Are there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we can move it to a vote. All those in favor of adopting the new bylaws for the governing board of the Office of the Inspector General for the City of Atlanta, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? The motion passed with 8 ayes. Okay. Next is on our agenda, financial disclosures.
Yeah, Ms. Madam Chair, that report will be provided by Sherry Dawson, our business manager.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, members of the board. I will now provide you a brief overview of the 2020 financial disclosure filing season. You should have already had a copy of the report in your board packet. This year, we had a total of 3,480 required financial disclosure filers. Out of those 3,480 filers, we had 369 city employees required to file and 411 board members or NPU members required to file. Our timely filing rate as of April 15th was 87%, compared to last year's 92% timely filing rate. We believe that that number is a little lower due to the pandemic. However, since April 15th, we now have achieved a 96% overall filing rate. As you know, we launched the new e-file system in March. March 1st, we went live with the new e-file system. And we faced a number of challenges and in the midst of the pandemic. Some of the strategies we used this year to get the filing completed. We held training sessions for the liaisons on the new system before the pandemic. We were able to hold our annual e-file day. We extended the filing deadline and grace period, which was a result of the pandemic. We sent out reminder emails and assisted problem filers via phone call or email, even though we were working remotely. We regularly sent status update reports to all of the department and board liaisons. This year, we faced numerous challenges. First and foremost, the COVID-19 pandemic and having to work remotely during the filing season. Secondly, the new electronic filing system had several technical issues, which was to be expected with a new system. And City Hall and the Ethics Office was closed, and we could not offer in-person assistance to the filers. And in addition, we also had an increased number of filers that were required to file their statement this year. This is the conclusion of my report. However, I do want to take a moment to give a special thank you to our staff and all the liaisons that worked hard in making this another successful filing year. Because without the efforts of the staff and our liaisons, we would not be able to navigate through a filing season during a global pandemic. I will take any questions at this time if you have any. Thank you.
Hey, this is Vic Hartman. I had a question, and not to put you on the spot. I'm just curious, roughly how many employees do we have in the city of Atlanta?
I think we roughly have about 8,000.
Okay. That is correct.
I have a question, Ms. Dawson. You mentioned that there was an increase in filers this year from previous last year. Do you know what the percentage or number of filers, the increase?
Yes, we had about 350 more filers this year compared to last.
And is that due to job description changes, new positions added?
I think it was due to both.
Ms. Dawson, this is Jerry Newmark. Are we going to give a little more leeway to the employees because of the pandemic, or are we going to try to keep the deadlines as normal?
I'm sorry, Jerry. I could barely hear your question. Could you repeat it, please?
All right. I'll try to be a little louder. Are we going to give a little more leeway in terms of reporting time and penalties because of the pandemic?
I'm going to defer that to the ethics officer to answer, please.
Thank you for your question, Dr. Newmark. I think as far as that goes, we do have a system set up where we will review case by case. As you, I don't know if you know that the process has changed, so the office will issue administrative decisions, and filers that are assessed a delinquency status will have to appeal that, and they would appeal to directly to this board. And so any appeals that are filed, this board will have to make the determination as to whether there's a justification to, I guess I would say, not assess sanctions in response to your question. So ultimately, we will have our administrative process, but the board would have to make the decision concerning any appeals.
Thank you.
I just have one more question, Ms. Dawson. Kind of piggybacking a little bit on Jerry's question, you did say you originally did extend deadlines. What was the extension deadline for the original untimely filing, I'm assuming?
Well, originally our deadline would have been April 1st. We extended it through the 15th, and the grace period would have ended on the 15th, and we extended that through April 30th. And you were considered late if you filed after May 1st.
And again, we are, this is Carlos Santiago, we are taking into consideration essential worker status, field status, as well as challenges regarding access to technology. So as Jabu said, we are reviewing on a case-to-case basis with the information we're provided by the departments to make sure that we are taking into account any circumstances in addition to the normal ones that we would do to determine if there's reasonable cause, such as health conditions, travel, or issues with mail.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
I have one small question. This is Wesley Tharp. Ms. Dawson, maybe building off something that Mr. Santiago just mentioned about the mail, I know one thing that has happened in past years is that later delinquent filers have been reminded of the requirements through regular U.S. mail. And would it be right to assume that this year all of the reminders were done by phone or email due to the pandemic, or have there also been physical mail reminders?
Carlos, do you want to respond to that?
I don't mind that. I don't mind responding. As Board Member Tharp, we did do the all of the required mailings per the code were done by mail. We were, with limited access to City Hall, we still were able to do some mailings, all the ones that were required under the code. So, but I will say that we did this year, we did an additional amount of email correspondence to try to, try to give our employees and officials enough time and more notice to file the statement. So we do every year, but this year I would say definitely more of discussions with email and phone conversations as well.
Great, thank you very much.
Sure.
Any additional questions? If not, thank you, board members.
Thank you, Ms. Dawson. I believe next on the agenda is the ethics officer's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I will provide to you our status report and really just provide some of the highlights. And you should also have that report in your packet. So again, navigating in the virtual space has had its share of challenges for the staff, but I am pleased to report that we have all adjusted and even, I believe, exceeded many of our goals and expectations, even with working remotely due to COVID-19. So in terms of some of our activities through May 19th through August 14th, I did present the budget for the office, the general office of the Inspector General, and I do that. We can I'll discuss a little bit of that budget shortly after this report. We are still working on filling the vacant board seat member for the board, and we have not yet been able to fill that. I'm still working on this, and I do know the chair has been working with me on this, and hopefully we can get somebody in that vacant seat. We continue to respond for requests for written and verbal advice. We have still been getting a lot of advice, as you know, through email. We're still doing telephone advice because we are all available during normal city work hours. We're currently working on getting some new ethics e-learning courses by seeking quotes from vendors, because as you see, being in the virtual space, there's definitely a great need for a citywide online ethics course. We did one about 3 years ago, and we are looking to launch our new phase. I'm also happy to report that our investigations have not stopped due to COVID, and the investigative staff, which is Mr. Santiago and Mr. Mason, continue to investigate what we have now, 10 open ethics matters, and they've opened some preliminary investigations. We've received a number of our integrity line complaints through our hotline during this time, and we continue to handle those matters pursuant to our process. So that's all I have in terms of highlights, and I'll take any questions if there are any questions about the status report.
Yeah, this is Chris Gilmore. I have a quick question. What, I guess, nominating body is that we're waiting on getting another board member from?
So we're waiting for the seat that we're looking. We've had some difficulty to fill. It would be Ms. Wash, Kate Wash's seat, and that's from the 7 universities.
Okay.
Yeah. And partly, I would say, I think it's really been due to COVID.
Right.
And a lot of the university presidents, it's just been a little bit difficult getting a hold of them. We'll still try. I've been reaching out to Ms. Wash for assistance as well.
Yep. No, I'm sure they're figuring out a lot of things of just how to have students back on campus. Okay.
Correct.
I just want to say, Ms. Sangobi, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because it's 7 universities, you've got to get all 7 presidents to appoint the new person on the board. So that's the difficulty.
Yes, that's the difficulty, because even if you have a potential nominee from one school, all the other 6 presidents have to agree to that nominee.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Ms. Hengova?
So it's just like that, Leah. I just had an informational question, I suppose. With the move to so many things being virtual, and I saw here that there was edit and complete a review of SOP document for APD. Are there other... Sorry, tried to mute. Are there other kind of SOP for virtual things that are coming up? That was very inartfully worded. I'm just curious about what if anything is coming up in that regard.
In terms of SOPs from where? From APE or any other department?
Just in general, are there new procurement issues that come up with? I just don't know anything enough about it or anything at all about whether the virtual world presents different.
Okay. Thank you for your question, Ms. Lang. As far as for the SOP document for APD, again, that was at that department's request. In terms of any procurement review or any other matters, we're still getting requests, and I think the great thing is they do utilize I think it's what's the name of the program again? There's a program that's being used by procurement. Let's say, for example, if we need to review, DocuSign for any, for example, any potential conflicts with some of the new contracts coming in, we're still reviewing that, even in the virtual space. And I think because the city has established some really great tools, internal tools, like, of course, we use Teams, we use Zoom, so we're able to really function in terms of operationally. This office is able to provide all of the services that we would if we were in the office, which has been some sort of, I would say, a relief to me, because I was concerned about whether or not we would be able to still do perform effectively.
I know that was a very compound, convoluted question.
Are there any other questions? If not, I can move on to the budget report. All right, so you should have a copy of the budget. So we did provide a copy of the fiscal year 20 budget because, as you know, we have not met since March. And we also provided you with our new budget, which is for FY21. So in terms of for fiscal year 20, that budget was provided just to let you know that we did close out for the end of that budget year, budget cycle, which meant we paid all outstanding expenses and invoices that were due. I just thank God. Thank you for the hard work of Ms. Dawson and Ms. Reeves, because it was, definitely navigating through a virtual space, making sure that, all the expenses were paid out, communicating with vendors, as well as communicating with the Department of Finance. So thank you all for your hard work on that. For FY21, if you notice the budget in terms of the report that you have, it shows reflects the total budget for the Office of the Inspector General. However, do keep in mind that based on the legislation, each division has been allocated its own separate operating budget. And so we are only spending as anticipated for our budget. And it's my understanding once the total new office is set up, then the new IG will sort out the budget for the other two divisions. So based on the way the code is written, we are spending as anticipated for the expenses coming out of the ethics division. So I'll take any questions you may have if you do have any budgetary items that you need to ask about.
Yeah, this is Chris Gilmore again. So just, I guess, a number of these questions are, in light of COVID. So just given the fact that, I guess, the office is closed, are there any, operating expenses that, have been suspended or that needed to be increased, given the need for everyone to be have the ability to work from home? Just, I guess, a general question on, were there any cost savings or additional expenses associated with the physical office being closed and everyone working virtually?
Thank you for your question. So I definitely think there was definitely a lot of cost savings in terms of overhead expenses. So, for example, the staff, typically by this time of year, we would have done some training, gone to some, training sessions or conferences. But due to COVID, of course, we could not do any of that. So there was savings, for example, in travel and training, definitely some savings and supplies, as well as other associated expenses. Now, in terms of navigating here in the virtual space, I've, just tried to do well in terms of, we've been trying to navigate with what the staff needs in terms of supplies. We've had to order things when needed. But overall, I would say that our budgetary needs have been met, but we've had some savings for FY20. And I anticipate that's going to be part of some of the same things for FY21, because there are expenses that we're not going to be utilizing since we're not in the office, or are we traveling to conferences, for example? Because all of our conferences that we would do are now virtual. Mm. Now, we have had to request some computers. A couple of staff members had to request computers, but I think being that we're not in the office, that's going to offset any other expenses. So,
got it.
Ms. Angova, I do have a question too. This is Nicola Hines. Just looking at the operating expenses, there's two separate codes for consulting and professional services. Can you just explain the two different codes?
So I will, if you don't mind, defer to either Ms. Dawson or Ms. Reeves to explain that.
Okay. Actually, there's three. We're just looking at three different codes, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Dawson?
I'm sorry. Ms. Hines, would you mind repeating your question?
Yeah, there's three separate codes under operating expenses for the office.
Mm-hmm.
521-2001 is the first code, and then if you go slightly, like, two down, it's 521-3001 is the code.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go all the way down, there's 541-0001, and they all are listed consultant and professional services. I was just wondering if you can just explain the three different codes and, you know, if they're all just listed as consultant professional services. I mean, are they different departments? It's one department here, so I'm just trying to understand.
Okay, so the first code, the 521-001, is for the general professional consulting. We retain any type of vendor that we need to, that's doing a consulting work for us, any type of professional work. The second consulting and professional service, the 523-1001, is for mobile device services such as the city cell or hotspots and so forth. That's for the second code, the consulting and professional. And the third consulting and professional code, the 541-0001, is actually the hosting and maintenance account line for our e-file system. For the new filing system. That's the third code.
Is there any way moving forward to kind of put those as parentheses or something so we can, if someone was looking at that, would know?
I'll talk on the reporting piece. You want me
to? Yeah, you know, like, so, yeah.
Okay.
It just says consulting professional services, so maybe the first one we can say professional vendors.
Okay.
And then when you're done with professional services, add that that's mobile devices and hotspots.
Okay.
Yeah, if I could just interject. So the reason why, in terms of that first account with the consulting and professional services, not only do we utilize that for vendor service, we also utilize that, for example, for some of our licensing, for e-learning software. So it's more broad. So I would just be careful in terms of how we frame the language there. Maybe to distinguish the second one, we can be specific that relates to cellular services.
Okay. Yeah, at least if two of the three are kind of more spelled out, then we kind of can, at least when you're looking at it, you don't look at three different columns of consulting professional services. You'll be able to tell the difference between them.
Okay, I will make a notation for the upcoming reporting.
Okay.
For the budget. Thank you.
Okay, were there any other questions about the budget reports? Okay, that concludes my report for both our status report and the budgets. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Angova. I guess next up would be if there's any public comments.
This is Ms. Dawson again. We did post the public notice for the public view, and we did list a public number for them to call in. We at this time we don't have any comments, public comments to present.
Thank you, Ms. Dawson. With no public comments, we will announce our next board meeting is tentatively scheduled for Thursday, September 17th, 2020 at 6 p.m. via Zoom. Can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Sorry, this is Lisa. We'll get a calendar invite for the for that one.
Yes, I believe so, Ms. Dawson, or...
yes, absolutely, we will.
Ms. Keene will.
I'm sorry, if you did not get one, we will make sure that there is an invite for the next meeting once we confirm that date.
Ms. Matt, motion to adjourn the meeting.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It was moved and seconded by Matt and Wesley. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? The meeting is now officially adjourned at... whatever time we have right now. Sorry, trying to get one. 6:38 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for joining. And I appreciate our first virtual governing board of the Office of Inspector General.
Woo, we made it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.